welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How is the pandemic impacting your life, your work, your parenting, your relationships? We're all in this boat together, but each of us has our own areas to bail and bail quickly. We're checking in with a few of In the Moment's frequent guests to see where they're at and how the virus is changing their lives, possibly forever. Patrick Hicks is an artist in residence at Augustana University. Patrick, it's writer in residence, isn't it? I'm messing up your introduction, Patrick. He's also the host of Poetry from Studio 47, which you hear on In the Moment every Friday. Patrick, hey, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, it seems like a writer would be in good shape right now. You're used to being a certain amount of isolation, but you're also a college professor, and so much change at Augustana with classes. Tell us a little bit about what has shifted for you, and how long has it, has the shift, how many weeks have you been into this transition at Augie?
Yeah, you're quite right. As since I'm a writer, that's sort of a self-quarantining sort of thing that we have to do anyway. So that part of my life hasn't changed at all. But it's been a significant change with classes moving online at Augustana. And really, since about March 7th, things have been very different for me and my colleagues here at Augustana. Spring break started, and then we decided to extend spring break for a week. And ultimately, we decided that for the safety of our students, it would be better if they were sent home. And so we've had to migrate everything online. So that's been a challenge, not just from a technological perspective, but also, we're so heavily involved in this sense of community at Augustana, and I'm struggling with how do I create community online? And I don't feel like I have an answer for that quite yet. So I tend to target individual students with emails, just checking in with them and things like that. So that's, I guess, one of the biggest changes for me personally as a professor.
Yeah. I sent you some questions in advance, which we never do, but these are some of the essential questions that we're wondering how people are adjusting to. And so I'm wondering if you could start with what you've learned about yourself. What do you find essential during this time of crisis? And these are those things that you've said, this is so important to me that I can't just put this on pause. I have to find a new way of doing it.
It's as a writer, it's a very solitary act. But the other part of me as a professor, and that's I'm engaged in the classroom and this sense of community. And I really, really miss being around my students and just walking around the campus. So that's been a significant change for me. I also love to travel, and obviously that's not happening anytime soon. So just having the ability to strike out and see a new part of the world that I haven't gone to, or a new part of the state that I haven't gone to, that's taken some recalibration. And I know that your listeners are in, I like how you say we're all in the same boat. We're just bailing at different levels here. We all have these sort of it's like Groundhog Day. You know, every day is like the same kind of day. And that's a challenge, just getting myself used to a different form of time and passing of time.
Yeah. So we all kind of have those same big problems. And one of the things I've been enjoying asking my friends is, what's your biggest small problem right now? And that's the thing that, like, 2 months ago, you would have said, this is a big problem. And now you almost hesitate to mention it because compared to staying healthy or being out of work or things like that. What's your biggest small problem, Patrick?
Yeah, I love that phrase, biggest small problem. it seems, well, like I say, it's the biggest small problem. So, just staying up on housework, shoveling the snow, cutting the grass, these things which I didn't like to do and still don't like to do. But now, so the dishes have piled up in the sink, but, let's go spend a little more time with my son. So those kind of just, day-to-day personal maintenance things of keeping the house functioning, I kind of shrug a little more than I might have, say, 2 months ago.
Right. What's bringing you joy right now? What's feeding your soul?
It's well, being with my family, and I know that your listeners are probably on the same wavelength with me. You know, my wife and I, we'd just get up and we'd go to work, but now we find we've gotten into this accidental habit, really, of making coffee and sitting down and talking for almost 45 minutes in the morning. And what a gift that's been. So we've deliberately had to slow down, and I so appreciate that. And it's the same with, you know, when I connect with my larger family via Zoom or Facebook chats or something like that. I did that yesterday with my larger family, and it was just such a joy. You know, here we are connected by, you know, computers, and, you know, we all have a beer and we're just talking and laughing. And, you know, that's that sense of communication. And I took it for granted that I could just drive over to someone's house and hang out. And, of course, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah. What about the way your life is right now is something that you think will inform your new normal or your after or your future? What have you discovered that you think, hey, this is essential to keep in my life in this way? I don't want to go back to the way things were before in this area.
Yeah. And it's a stressful time for everyone because everything is changing and we don't know what changes will be permanent, or, you know, we just don't know what's on the horizon. It's certainly going to change the country and the world. So when I think about the things that I would like to keep going forward, it's certainly this idea of mobility and being able to connect with people when I want, just, you know, calling someone up and saying, hey, let's do this, and slowing down with my family. Those are things that I really hope to hold on to after things normalize, and things will definitely normalize. I mean, you just need to look at history and pandemics, and they have a very long sort of cycle to them, but things always do return to normal. And then we kind of forget about the pandemics, and they're like, it just recedes into history. And I really hope that I can hang on to the things that I'm sort of learning right now.
Mm-hmm. I was reading an article this morning that was about the art of the pandemics in the past and how artists have responded. How are you seeing artists, and especially writers, since you are one, respond to the creative challenge of the time that we're living in? What's their responsibility right now?
Oh, it's funny you should mention that, because here at Augustana, we're encouraging our students to maybe share their thoughts and what they're going through, because I feel most acutely for our seniors who have been their final semester here at Augustana is changed. They've been sent home. They won't have a traditional graduation ceremony. So I think about them and you know how life has sort of impacted them going forward. And so we've been asking them to be thinking about their writing and their art, and I'm plugged into my writer friends across the nation. And, you know, everyone feels like they should be writing about what's happening right now. I feel a compulsion to write about it, but I don't know how to write about it yet. And I think that that's because we don't know the ending of this yet. There will be some pretty extraordinary art that comes out of this, but I think that it's too soon to say what that might look like.
Right. Is it the artist's role to guide us all through that? I mean, in some ways, and I'm also wondering, you know, we talk about the different things that are of shortage in the supply chain, but books aren't being published at the same, you know, pace that they must have been published before. Authors are having released, movies are on hold for releases. So there is a disruption in the art supply chain, which is not nothing right now. That's not a small thing as Americans figure out how to move forward.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I have a number of writer friends who have had to cancel book tours. There were a couple of writers I wanted to bring to Augustana, and obviously I can't do that now. So it's in a very real sense disrupting the production and the dissemination of art. And yet, at the same time, I'm fully aware that everyone is at home and they're watching movies, they're watching TV shows, they're listening to music, they're reading books. So I think that the arts have often been seen as sort of secondary in necessity in our country. But that's what everyone's turning to right now. And I take some pride as being a literary artist myself that this is how our country is getting through this, is we're turning to artists and to entertainment. And I hope that the nation realizes how important our artists are, just as we are also seeing how important our teachers are.
Yeah. One of my favorite authors is named Rebecca Stead, and she does middle grade books, and she has a new book out. And yesterday, for the first time, I ordered something online because I've been trying not to. At that moment, I was like, I have to support Rebecca Stead. So, Patrick Hex, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time. Stay healthy.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.